broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Table live,
what
ladies and gentlemen.
My eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Incredible movie out in theaters now, rated PG. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, as always, on your favorite talk radio station. Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for March 21st in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal, clear as a bell, steady as a rock, that is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. It is, an interesting day. I went last night to see, I can only imagine. Incredible movie. I thought it was very good, rated PG, gets 4 out of 5 plugs on Plugged In magazine. And who is it, you say? Well, the band's called Mercy Me. It's a Christian band, if you don't know. Bart Millard is the gentleman's name. He's the front man for the band. It's the new movie, I Can Only Imagine. BartMillard.org is his website. The song, the movie, and the book bring hope to millions, ladies and gentlemen. A gripping reminder of the power of true forgiveness. I'm telling you right now, I thought it was a phenomenal movie. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Have you seen the movie, Kurt?
No, I haven't.
You got to get on that, buddy. I mean, imagine a movie that Sam's seen that Kurt hasn't, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty good, huh?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, it's an incredible movie.
You're pleased,
man. Yeah, absolutely. It was a great movie. Now, you want to see it for multiple reasons. Number one, you want to help fund great movies. But number two, I believe the movie is about forgiveness. All right? Bottom line is it's all about Bart Millard's life. He's the front man for Mercy Me, the Christian rock / Christian band. Does a great job. It really is an encapsulation of his life. And it is a true story. And it basically talks about how he grew up in a home in Texas. His father was incredibly abusive, verbally, emotionally. He was anti-God and everything else. And he literally, you know, beat Bart. And Bart's mom left when he was a young man, 11 or so. And when he was in high school, his dad got pancreatic cancer. And long story short, it's the story of repentance for the dad, forgiveness for the son, an incredible real story that culminated in the creation of I Can Only Imagine, the song. And the song literally is a, I don't know what you call it, it is a tribute to his father and is a encapsulation of his forgiveness. and what he believes Heavenly Father can do. He said, when Barge speaks about this, he basically says, hey, man, I watched my father transform from an absolute abuser to a man of God, a man that I hated his guts, to a man that I wanted to be like. And that's what Christianity did for Bart. It's Millard and it's Bart. Okay. Anyway, Bart Millard basically talks about, if God can change my father like that, he can change anybody, man. And so Bart forgives, eventually writes his song, and he says he wrote the song in 10 minutes when he was on a bus at night traveling. But he brought it to Amy Grant so she could sing it for him because he wasn't popular enough, and he wanted the song to be shared to promote forgiveness and testimony of God. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, Amy Grant was going to do it. It was all set to go. And then Amy just felt like, you know what, Bart, you've got to sing this. This is your song. I'm not going to take it away from you. Incredible story of humility on Amy Grant's part, because everybody knew it was going to be a hit song. Everybody knew it was going to be incredible. Anyway, long story short, Bart did it. And it really focuses, in my opinion, on what matters in life. And the value, the power of real, true forgiveness. And the focus on Christianity. And the mainstream press, Rotten Tomatoes, and everybody else tells you that it's a horrible movie. It was a horrible attempt at this and that. I'm telling you, they have no clue what they're talking about. They're so out of touch with the American people, it's beyond comprehension. With that, James Edwards, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Sam, Kurt, it's great to be back with you today. I got to give you Rocky Mountain Boys some credit. Y'all wake up early.
Come on
to
now.
Deliver hard-hitting talk radio. Typically, ladies and gentlemen, when I join these fine men on the radio, it's the third Wednesday of every month, but I'm trained like a dog after all these years. I normally come on the second hour of that third Wednesday of every month, but today I'm pulling a little double duty with Sam and Kurt on for the entire show, so waking up at about 7:30 to get everything set up to do radio at 8 o'clock Central Time. I could feel the difference, actually, so I got to give y'all credit for doing this.
So I got a question for you. Did you wake up with an I-can-only-imagine idea in your heart, a testimony of Christ and a power knowledge of forgiveness, sir?
Hey, Sam, every day, first of all. And number two, let me say a couple of things about what you were just talking about as we settle into the seriousness of it all. First, my wife would love you for playing that song. She listens to K-Love every day. Anytime she can have control of the radio in the car, it's on K-Love. Now, me, it's a 1950s or 60s pop CD, but big K-Love fans and love the song. Haven't seen the movie yet. I have not seen the movie yet, but I will tell you, in listening to your opening monologue, I'd also like to make mention of a great movie that it did come out. I guess it was just last year, although the book came out many years ago, The Case for Christ. Lee Strobel is the author, and he actually came to Memphis a few months ago, and I took my family to hear him speak, and he spoke, and there was a screening of the movie, so I did watch that movie there, and then he did a little talk in a Q&A afterwards, and if you're not familiar with this movie, it's another Christian movie, and they're getting better with their movies. It's very much a Hollywood production in the best sense of the word, meaning that it's high budget, it's professional, it looks good. Obviously, the content is vastly superior, but Lee Strobel was an award-winning investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune back in the 70s. Now, you have to dismiss the things you know about journalists and reporters today. There was once a time when there was a method or a formula that a journalist would use to prove or disprove whatever it was they were investigating by following the facts. There was a procedure. Now, of course, we know that journalists and reporters are nothing more than activists for the left. Facts and all of that other stuff, it has no bearing whatsoever on the ultimate story. But there was a time, I guess, at least for some people, like Lee Strobel, when it did. And so if you're familiar with the story, you don't need me to give you a detailed review of it. But anyway, he began to go on a quest to disprove Jesus Christ, to disprove that he was the Son of God, to disprove. In fact, he that was his mission, actually, to let the facts lead him to a conclusive conclusion that Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. All of it was just a myth, because his wife had recently become a Christian, and he was upset over that because it had changed their lifestyle. So he went on this journey, and by just following the facts, he, of course, converted to Christ and became a big soul winner, and then that was the book was about, how the evidence compelled him to believe that what the Bible says about Jesus was true. They made a movie about it. We had the opportunity to see that one. I guess we're going to have to see this
one,
too.
Yeah, so I bet that was a great journalist, James, a fantastic journalist with credentials everywhere until he did that, and then he's like a fallen, confused, he's a feeble of mind and all these things that they try to trap us religious people into, right?
All right. Well, of course, he wasn't long for the Chicago Tribune after that. But of course, God has rewarded him in so many other ways, and now he has, of course, become a great name for a good cause.
The Case for Christ, ladies and gentlemen, incredible movie. I can only imagine another incredible movie. And one of the things that I found fascinating is when I went to the theater, and I rarely go to the theater, by the way, but I did. Number one, there was a bunch of movie previews ahead of the movie, as you know, when you go to theaters. I'm telling you right now, there was about 10 or 15 movies that are coming out soon that I want to watch. I was shocked. I was surprised. Ladies and gentlemen, we are starting to build our own institutions. You got Liberty Roundtable Live in the media. You've got alternatives to Facebook and Twitter starting to come out. You've got new movies taking center stage that have Christianity at the center. You got good things going on everywhere. The only question left is, are you going to fund it and be part of it in every way possible? James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, with us as we continue in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. We got James Edwards riding shotgun, well-known talk show host in his own right. We appreciate him being with us, as he is monthly and sometimes more often, usually the third hour. He's trying to wake up. See, I have a hard time getting Kirk Crosby and James Edwards to wake up for radio, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what it is about these two, but my criminy.
Sam, you said the third hour, though. You mean the third week.
I'm sorry. He's on the third week. That's correct. Second hour. Kurt's there to keep me on target. Oftentimes my mind gets ahead of my mouth, and, you know, that's a problem. Anyway,
that's amazing.
I digress. So, but this Christian reality has started to be phenomenal, and we're building our own institutions, which I've literally said we need to do for decades. And we're starting to see more and more of it. Liberty News Radio is an example. Liberty Roundtable, the political cesspool radio programs. Now I went to the movies and saw an incredible movie. I can only imagine. And then I literally saw the previews of a bunch of movies that I wanted to go see, and they're coming out, and they're Christian based, and they're good. It's exciting to see. And then we have The Case for Christ, of course, Rotten Tomatoes and all these other, in my opinion, anti-Christ organizations are running around attacking everything. But think about the song, movie, and book, I Can Only Imagine. Now, I don't know if you know, but there's a song out about it. There's a movie out about it. Now, Bart is working on a book for adults and then a children's book, I Can Only Imagine. You want to learn about the power of true forgiveness? BartMillard.org is where you can learn about it. And you can even buy preview copies of it. I don't get a penny. I'm just telling you, it's very cool. And I think it's great news, and I like to see us build our own institutions and stand around our own campfires and do the things that build our heritage and who we are as people. And I mean, it's incredible stuff. The Case for Christ, a journalist's personal investigation of the evidence for Jesus. Lee Strobel doing a great job, too. It's just tremendous. Any other comments on this, Kurt?
You know, I was just looking over a report from the Tennessean.com, and, you know, you've got the basically, remember, ladies and gentlemen, you might not have heard us talk about this before, but this movie stars Dennis Quaid. This is a pretty famous actor, yeah.
Boy, howdy, no doubt.
Cloris Leachman, you know, she's been in a number of things. I think you've got the one of the ladies from what's called the War Room is our.
That's exactly right. That's right.
And you know, so you've got a pretty good cast. Now, the just to remind you, if you didn't get this part, they spent about $7 million on it. They this last weekend they brought in over $17 million. It came in number three. Just behind, let's see, what were the other two? The Tomb Raider, and the other one is that Black Panther movie.
All right, now what's that movie? Hold on, Kurt. What's that movie they're pitching this last weekend that they just basically promoted everywhere?
Let's see. They say it beat out A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, that's right. And, so they promoted Wrinkle in Time big time, James.
That's
but
Oprah Winfrey. So that's right. That's a big one.
But it got behind. I Can Only Imagine. Oh, I Can Only Imagine took more dollars in than that film. $7 million spent, $17 million the first weekend, and that doesn't even count my family going to see it. I brought like 8 people to go see it.
Yeah, that was $1 million right there.
That's one of the keys to remember, James. I don't know how much you know about that Wrinkle in Time movie, but it originally, I guess, in the book, it had a lot of God and, you know, Christian based kind of things, and Disney thought that just, you know, shouldn't really be in there. And
so the book was very Christian. Disney yanked it out of the movie.
That's right. Got it out, you know, to make it more, I guess you could say, I don't know, acceptable to the American people or whatever, the world. And, well, based on the numbers, you know, at least number one, I'd say they shouldn't have done it because they're doing fake news, you know, again.
Well, yeah, they could have done better if they would have, you know. But again, they're trying to create a wrinkle in time with fake news. That's the wrinkle.
That's right. And this is a couple of brothers that basically, they directed it as well. And I was looking through this article about it, and they've got some pretty cool stuff on it, you know. And the bottom line is, hey, a lot of folks are showing up for it. I was seeing one other thing about it. Dennis Quaid had a little bit more to say about it. He said that when he read the script, I guess it, and after participating as the actor in there, he has now written a song himself. And this song says, it's been a big week for actor Dennis Quaid. The I Can Only Imagine star celebrated the premiere of the powerful faith-based film and also released a Christian song he wrote and sang for the movie's soundtrack. So this movie, or this song that he wrote, is called On My Way to Heaven. Did you hear that one, Sam?
Yeah, but it's not that prominent in the movie. I mean, it's,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, because it's a transitional piece that makes a difference. I'm not downing it. I'm just saying that the fact that I can only imagine, here's what happened. He wrote the song. This is Bart now. And when he wrote it, he basically turned it over to Amy Grant to sing and promote. And it's a real, I mean, this movie is full of symbolism, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real tribute to the fact that, in his view, God gave me this song as a symbolism of forgiveness to share with the world, and it's not even really mine. And so he gave it to Amy Grant to record, thinking, hey, let's give it to a real Christian artist. Amy humbly was going to do it, but then she decided she just couldn't do it, and she couldn't take it from Bart. And it's a real tribute to what's important. And so I bring this up, that Dennis's song is valuable, Kurt, but it doesn't eclipse that focus either, but it supports that focus. It's tremendous to really behold how this all unfolds. And this is where the, in my opinion, the anti-God folks, the normal movie critics and everything else, they don't even understand it. They're so shallow in their understanding. They can't even get the symbolism, the opportunities, the value, the blessing, the humility. They don't even get it. I mean, you've got Bard and Amy and Dennis and all these people that are, I mean, they're just trying to run around and see who they cannot give credit to. At the same time, share the sacred message, the incredible, true power that comes from real forgiveness. Okay, I'm telling you, it is amazing to behold, and the more you study about it, the more impressed you get. And the more you just think, man, rotten tomatoes, they deserve it. They're rotten to the core.
Well, Sam, if I could chime in here.
Yeah, please.
The no conversation about Christian movies is complete without mentioning, of course, Passion of the Christ. You mentioned Rotten Tomatoes.
Amen. Great point.
The more rotten you are on Rotten Tomatoes, if you're 100% rotten, that means you're the greatest movie of all time. That's a good thing, to be 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mel Gibson's movie is 49%. But it was, I think, for all the Christian movies I've ever seen, obviously the best, most impactful, most intense, and obviously a lot of other people agreed with that as well. It came out in 2004, and it was very graphic. And I believe it needed to be graphic to show you, to the extent that modern man could, what Jesus Christ went through over the course of the last 12 hours of his life. So that's what that movie was about. Mel Gibson directed it. Of course, we're partial to Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's father has been a good friend of ours and has appeared on my radio program a number of times. But
we got to mention the last 12 hours of his mortal life, because he was able to come
back,
folks.
I'm glad you said that. That actually sets me up for what I was about to share with you, and this was the reason I bring that up. I actually saw that movie for the first time. I was on vacation at Disney World in 04 with my wife, and we saw it there at one of the theme parks, at a movie theater at some of the theme parks. So I always remember it for that as well. Incredible movie. It was the highest grossing, I believe it still is, the highest grossing R-rated movie in the history of motion pictures. So people say, you know, nobody's going to see this stuff. I got to tell you one thing when we come back from the break about this. There's a reason I brought it up.
You got it. I got a couple more points, too. There's a little bit of romance, and I Can Only Imagine, but every bit of it's moral romance. Now, I know that sounds impossible in our society, but they did it with honor. It's incredible. I'll tell you about it as the broadcast unfolds. You are listening to James Edwards, the politicalcesspool.org radio talk show host, every weekend award-winning shows, Kirk Crosby and Sam Bushman in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking about Christian movies on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about The Passion of Christ. You had more to say, James.
Well, just very quickly, because I don't want to interrupt from the main stream of the conversation.
Oh, this is the main conversation, my friend.
Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, 2004, one of the highest grossing movies in the history of motion pictures. Very little budget, like most of them are, and it made billions worldwide, and it couldn't have gone to a better, at least for Hollywood standards, a better guy. And of course, the content of it was just, I think, as close to an actual recreation of what that was probably like that a man can do. But the good news is there is a sequel coming out. It's also going to feature Jim Caviezel as Jesus Christ. He played Christ in the Passion movie, and the story reads, Mel Gibson is reportedly moving ahead with a sequel to The Passion of the Christ that will recount the resurrection, according to multiple Hollywood reports. So it's going to bring back Randall Wallace, who wrote Braveheart, and he's going to be doing the script. So I think that's great. So the first movie, obviously the last 12 hours of Christ's life. But then, of course, what is so incredible, and there was the scene at the very end where it shows the empty tomb, but the resurrection is what separates Jesus from every other man who ever lived. And so we will, well, you had Lazarus, you had a couple of others who were called up to heaven, but the resurrection I am really looking forward to that movie. If it's half as well done as The Passion was, we're all going to be in for an incredible
treat. Amen to that. Anyway, I love to see people build their own institutions. I love to see us work on things together. I love the fact that this these movies are doing well, that people are learning, people are understanding. And I love the testimony of Christ. And some of these movies are about forgiveness. They're about Christ's life. They're about learning who he is and learning to follow him. Just tremendous stuff. And I really focus on this so much because I believe that's where the solutions lie. And in this movie that we're talking about, there's some romance in it that I wanted to kind of mention to you as well. And the interesting thing is it's completely moral. All that you get is a couple of kisses between the two. And the romance doesn't take the flavor of romance to get all hot and steamy and sexy or anything like that. It's nothing to do with that. Here's what happens. In this movie, I can only imagine, Bart gets sent to his mom to a summer camp. And his mom leaves at that point, which is a horrible thing. Just so you know, he's rekindled his relationship with his mother. And things are going well as he helps her learn to be a Christian, too. Anyway, he meets this girl named Shannon as a young kid in summer camp. And they just become buddies. And right when they become buddies, she says, you know what? I think we ought to just get married someday. And he kind of laughs and goes, whatever. And they just hang out and they're friends. And then they become high school sweethearts. And as their high school sweethearts, he gets into football and then gets injured, so he can't continue in that. Nevertheless, she stands by him through it all. And then he decides he wants to kind of be a rock star. And so he bags Shannon and ditches her. And she's hurt big time. And he's just like, hey, man, I don't want this. And so then later he comes back and he says, hey, Shannon, come with me on the road, man. I'm a rock star now. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to do all these awesome things. And you got to come with me on the road. And she's like, huh, forget you. I'm not interested at all. We're not doing that. I'm going, you know, anyway, he called her down in the evening. So she's like, I'm going back up to my room and going to bed. See you later. And so she bails. Well, later he comes to his senses and he calls her and he basically says, I apologize. It wasn't you at all. It was about me. I couldn't learn to forgive my father, and I couldn't give a woman what she deserves. And therefore, it wasn't you at all. It was me. And I'm repenting and apologizing. And anyway, long story short, real story, they get married and they've got five kids now. Five kids in a Christian family living down there in Tennessee. So I find that kind of fascinating. And it's a real love story about, you know, women aren't just tramps. Women aren't just for the taking. Women aren't just, and she just says, look, she was dedicated to him. She says, I love you. I'll stick with you. I don't care if you got your legs hurt. I don't care if you're not a rock star. I don't care about any of those things. But then the second he wanted her to be his, I don't know, play doll or trophy wife or any of the kind of things that you could attribute to that, she's like, I'm not interested. Forget it. Give it up. Not happening. And then when he repents and comes and wants a real relationship, she takes his name and gives him five children. Now, do you create better love stories than that, James?
That sounds like the authentic love of the Bible, and I guess that's what you would see in a Christian movie, or at least what you would hope to see for a Christian movie. I couldn't help but think to myself, though, when you said five children, what would Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby call a family with five children? You would call that a good start.
I would say that he's got his quiver full of them. If the Lord sends him more, that's wonderful. And if the Lord doesn't, I understand. And, you know, it isn't to me a race of how many children you have. Rather, it's an attitude about children being welcomed to your home and partnering with God to raise faithful, solid disciples of Christ. Do you want to add to that, Kurt?
You know, I was amazed to remember, I was looking through a Washington Times piece about the movie, and I was amazed to remember that this I Can Only Imagine song came out way back in 2001.
Yes, sir.
At least according to them. And
I've been listening to the song for a long time, by the way. It's an incredible song.
Yeah,
it's always been.
I just didn't know that it was that far back, you know, they say it came out to what's called triple platinum, which I guess that's...
Yeah, it's the most sold Christian song on the planet.
Pretty good.
For modern Christian music, yeah.
I think that's one thing that really helped, I guess you could say, propel it.
Yeah, because the band Mercy Me, which he's the lead singer for, the front man for, they literally are promoting this on Twitter and Facebook and social and stuff like that. And so it's gone big time. It's huge. Now, here's the interesting thing. He told everybody that he wrote the song in 10 minutes because he did pen the lyrics in 10 minutes. But after Amy Grant listened to the song multiple times and agreed to sing it, which eventually she backed out of and gave it back to Bart where it belonged, Amy made a statement that I find intriguing when it comes to the symbolism and understanding this movie and the story and the reality of forgiveness and everything else. She said, "Bart, you didn't take 10 minutes to write this song." And he's like, "What? Yeah, I did." And she's like, "It took a lifetime to write." And when you think about his personal story and his quest for forgiveness and his father's quest to learn about Christ and to repent and all the healing that took place during this man's life. By the way, he's about 45 years old. He was born in 1972, just so you know. Anyway, it's a reality statement that Amy Grant made that this thing took a lifetime to write. Because you had to get in a place for this all to happen and for the understanding to come and for the reliance on the atonement for it all to occur, Kurt.
It's cool to understand that about his family and the children and his wife and stuff. But Sam, I appreciate you bringing that. And then James's point about the passion of Christ in the last sentence or so from the Washington Times, it says, "The last time you saw the raw power of a unified Christian church was with the passion of the Christ." We've only begun to see the potential of these films. So, anyway, it's pretty good stuff.
Now, James, we talk about the power of the unified Christian church, and I think we need a whole lot more unifying going on than we've got today. And it's sad that congregations and, you know, they're going politically correct and they're jettisoning the principles that made Christianity what it is today and made us followers of Christ by obeying and being true to those principles and things like that. You've had a little bit of a battle of your own, huh? I don't know how much you want to speak on this, but...
Well, yeah, it's true. So, essentially, when it all started with the interview that we had right here on this radio program with Donald Trump Jr.
Of course it did. Everything starts with that interview, it seems like, huh?
Well, of course you'll
because
remember
that. Because
they're
trying to divide us all over that stellar interview. By the way, there was nothing wrong in that interview whatsoever. It brought together good people doing good things. It is, in my opinion, one of the best interviews done in the campaign for Donald Trump's presidency ever done. And they know it, James. But go ahead.
That's right. And it was a fantastic interview. But people will, of course, recall how much news that made. And it was certainly its own news cycle. And it impacted the entire presidential race. Hillary Clinton spoke out about it. Of course, the entire press pilloried Trump from that day in March all the way through the election. And then thereafter, even last year, months after the election, it was included in Donald Trump Jr.'s biographical timeline that the Boston Globe put out. Well, Russell Moore is a Soros-funded, and this isn't just talk. I mean, this is a matter of fact. George Soros gives an organization of which Russell Moore sits on the board money to help influence the Southern Baptist Convention to take in more illegal aliens, to push the Southern Baptist Convention to be a proponent for illegal immigration. And I guess we have a break, so we'll talk more about that when we come back.
We'll do it in seconds. James Edwards with us, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to LibertyRoundtable.com on your favorite news the networks refuse to use, talk station.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, I don't mean to digress on this movie forever, but I do believe these movies are valuable. They're vital. I do believe the romance in the movie. So this, his wife is named Shannon. She was a rock, and I like women like that. People say that, oh, Sam Bushman just wants the woman to be in the kitchen or in bed and pregnant all the time and barefoot, and man, he's just this misogynist thug, and he hates women, and he, you know, as long as women are doing his bidding, it's okay, but he certainly doesn't think they're his equal. Now I'm praising a Christian woman who, when he wanted her for a girlfriend and a real friend, and they were thinking about love and getting married, she was 100% in. The second he decided that, hey, I want to go on the road and be a rock star and I want to take this, you know, trophy chick with me, or I want to, she's like, I'm not interested. Forget it. Forget you. I'm not even interested at all. Go away, Bart. See you later. And he was dejected. He was absolutely rejected by her. And I submit to you, deservedly so. But the second he came back and said, listen, I want what matters most. You matter to me. You're my friend. I'm apologizing and repenting for hurting you. And I want to have a real life together. She was in again. In my opinion, that's an example of true biblical love and an appropriate relationship between a man and a woman who before God as personages are equal, male and female created to them. He didn't say one was better than the other, one was above the other. What he did say was they have unique God-given roles based on gender. I know that's sacrilegious to say, but I'm going to stand by it, ladies and gentlemen. Based on gender, and these two separate genders come together. They become one in Christ for the purpose of God's ordained eternal family. We're the children of God. And male and female he created to come together and to bring their unique talents and their unique capabilities as male and female to create this synergism of a great whole. The fundamental unit of society, the family. And I bring this up and focus on this because I believe in that institution are the solutions. And Bart was able to build that institution primarily because his girlfriend at the time remained true to her Christian quest. And if he was going to be part of that with her, she was in. But if he wasn't going to go down that road, she was out. And I think we all, as individuals, hey, deciding to follow Christ to become a Christian is an individual thing. Once you have your individual decision to become a disciple of Christ, then you can join in holy matrimony, in this case, with another Christian and promote the good of God and build his kingdom on the earth. And then what you end up with, if you pull the Sam Bushman or the Kirk Crosby or the James Edwards, you welcome children into that sacred God-ordained institution. And there becomes a Christian family, the fundamental unit of society. And in that organization are where people are taught about God, family, and country. They're taught to protect life, liberty, and property. And that really is the solution to 99% of the plagues we find in society today, James. That's why I spend so much time on it.
It's been a fantastic hour. I love talking about this. I love talking about this issue, the issue of faith, of Christ and his goodness and glory. For me, that is a very much motivating factor of my show as well. And, of course, being a good son of the South, we talk about our Southern heritage. But all of this stuff, the political issues of the day mixed in with our faith and our heritage. That's what I put all that into a blender, and I share it quite generously with my audience. I enjoy sharing aspects of myself with the audience and who I am as a person and what makes me tick. And obviously, faith in God. If you're separated from that, it's hard to imagine how you can go through life, how you could bear it.
And I'm going to rifle down the things we discussed yesterday really quick. Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just going to say, you know, James brought up a good son of the South, and that I think we've overlooked one aspect of this movie. I'm looking at the BakersfieldNow.com website, and the headline reads, "Country music star Trace Adkins."
That's right.
About his new movie, I Can Only
All right.
Imagine.
But let's talk about this, though. So Trace Adkins plays the father in the movie.
The father, or the at least it says he's the...
I'm sorry. Let's start over.
Band.
Let's start over. Dennis plays the father.
Yeah.
And Trace Adkins plays the rock band label guy, who, and this is an interesting point you bring up, Kurt, this label guy, this record label guy, says one thing that was important. He almost plays a father figure role to Bart, because at one point in the movie he says, "You know what? You're just not good enough, Bart." And Bart just feels absolutely dejected. But then he says an important statement that you got to watch in the movie. He says this: "I don't believe in what you're doing because I don't believe what you're doing is authentic. You're playing a bunch of other people's music. And I don't believe in what you're doing. You're just not good enough, Bart. However, make no mistake, I don't believe in what you're doing. You got to go find your authentic. You got to go figure out your personal problems and you got to solve them. I don't believe in what you're doing right now, but I do believe in you." So Trace Adkins plays the father. I'm sorry, plays the let me say this over. Trace
manager.
Adkins plays the record label manager or whatever. He becomes his manager for the band and everything else. But anyway, he does really point that out, and that's a very Christian viewpoint that I don't know that any record label managers play today, or at least very few. But it's tremendous. It's a wise point, Kurt. And so, yeah, it's a star-studded film for sure.
And one of the other things to say, I mean, at least when James brought up Son of the South, as far as I know, Trace Adkins, great country music, I guess you call him a multi-platinum selling country music artist.
Yeah, a legend, they say.
What's that?
They call those legends, country legends. Kurt.
Yeah. Anyway, I really enjoyed him in the movie Mom's Night Out that was also, you know, at least, you know, had some good Christian teachings in it and that kind of thing. He did a great job there. If you haven't seen that movie, I highly recommend it as well.
I completely agree with that. Great movie, you're right. And good point to bring up his involvement. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in these movies, and that's why I'm saying we're building our own institutions, ladies and gentlemen. We're starting to take back the narrative from these godless thugs, and I think it's delightful. I think it's absolutely awesome. And I'm certainly a tiny part of it. I don't get any credit, but I hope to be part of it. I hope to be a true stallion for liberty, for Christ, for all that matters, for God, family, and country, for the protection of life, liberty, and property. I hope to be a pillar in that. Not that I want any recognition, but I hope to be solid as a rock. And I know this. They talked to us about being great talk show hosts and stuff like that back in the day, and they said, "But you got to drop that God thing, Sam." And I just said, "If God's out, I'm out." That was over 20 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. So we had on our listener yesterday, Scoop Stanton, who reported in about this shooting investigation underway in Mills High School in Southern Maryland or whatever the cops said. Anyway, long story short, the shooter died. They don't know if he killed himself. But the most important reason I bring up this story is to say this. The carnage got stopped by a school officer that was armed. And that's why there wasn't very much carnage in this one. Wow, that's good news. Anyway, our listener Lowell Nelson chimed in. We talked about help us audit the Fed. Colin put pressure on Congress now. We talked about Wyoming new legal tender law, treating gold and silver as money over there in Wyoming. Good for them. They're following Utah's lead. We talked about we need to eliminate all gun-free zones and implement constitutional carry. By the way, Mississippi's got the toughest abortion ban in the nation. It becomes law. The governor says, I want this to be a safe place for children. Boy, howdy, Mississippi getting it done. I pray every other state follows their lead. Of course, there's challenges to that now, but we got to stand strong as we fight for life, liberty, and property. Good for the folks down there in Mississippi. We talked about foreign influence, how rich Mitch McConnell, I should say Rich McConnell, huh? Anyway, Mitch McConnell got rich with foreign influence and money, according to WND.com. We talked about Facebook and Cambridge Analytics involved in a fake news story. Everybody acts like they, you know, hey, Facebook's the victim and Cambridge Analytica took advantage of them and everything else. And Trump's all the fault, the blame. Look, they've all been hacking, jacking. From the Russians to the Democrats to the Republicans, they're all guilty. And it all started with George Bush spying on the American people, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake, he was criminal in his intent to do so. They should have tossed the President Bush in the clink. They didn't. They just simply backed into codifying his hostile spy agenda, violating the Fourth and Fifth Amendments by the, in my opinion, the fake idea of law. The claim for this one is Cambridge working for Donald Trump literally got all this information without people's permission. But Facebook has been collecting the data forever, and Cambridge just did what they always do. All these companies, hey, Facebook gathers it and literally sells it to these rich organizations for a purpose, and we've all been shanghaied. But what's the difference between Facebook doing it and your president, George Bush, doing it? Right on down to Barack Obama and Donald Trump doing it. I'm not defending Trump or getting him off the hook. What I'm telling you is we need to start tossing criminals in the clink. The Department of Defense, by the way, all the while, is literally transferring secret data to Amazon's secret cloud. Did you know that? So while we run around and pretend that, oh man, this Facebook thing's a scandal, let me say this again. The Department of Defense is transferring secret data to Amazon's secret cloud. What's going to happen with all that? Anyway, you do something untrustworthy or dishonorable in China, they say that could get you banned for taking planes or trains and automobiles. Is that only happening in China, or do we see that coming to a theater, I mean to a country near us? That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday, by the way. Hour 2, we talked about the biggest solar parks are now being built in India. So much for this free trade idea. We got to back into fair trade and tariffs, don't we? Dishonest Ted Cruz, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Cruz emails me, Sam, did you get my message? I'm worried because I haven't heard back from you. I need to hear back from you ASAP today if possible. Sent from Ted's iPhone. He lies. I tried to get a hold of him. I called him at Congress. I tried to email him back. And the bottom line is I can't get Ted to respond to me if my life depends on it. So I'm just calling him Dishonest Ted Cruz. Running around and acting like it's all personal when he knows he's lying. He's just begging for my money. Wow. Sam tries to call the Donald to see if Donald can help me get a hold of Ted. That's to no avail as well. That all happened live on your radio. By the way,
a furious rundown. A furious rundown, Sam.
Hey, this is Liberty Roundtable Live, baby. Then we talked about a lone New York sheriff signs up to be the only sheriff to be willing to stand for an immigration crackdown. Good for the sheriff. We're going to try to get a hold of him and put him on the radio. Obama campaign staffer says Facebook allowed them to harvest massive amounts of data as well. So Barack doing the same thing. People are ready to buy some guns, folks, in the world's murder capital of the world. David Diller with that piece. The Southern Poverty Law Center has now become the YouTube police, according to Matt Staver of LC.org, our good friend at Liberty Council. So think about it. The Southern Poverty Law Center in bed with YouTube, and we're going to run around and blame the Russians? And then blame Donald? And then we're going to let Hillary run around free? Wow. The Southern Poverty Law Center forced to retract an article apologizing after linking left-wing folks to Vladimir Putin, writes Peter Hassan of the Daily Caller. So the Southern Poverty Law Center gets caught again in their scandals, but they're backed by government funding, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake. We talked about Elon Musk is going to start his own satirical news service. I kid you not. And why would he do that? He couldn't buy the Onion. He tried, failed. Now he's going to start his own satirical, I would call it Elon Musk involved in fake news service. But there you go. Now, confusion reigned the day of Antonin Scalia's death. Did you know that? New documents show, according to Kevin Daly, Daily Caller. Did you hear me? Confusion reigned the day of Scalia's death, and we're just finding out about that now. Liberty Roundtable Live.